Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the North Mountain Brewing Company in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host. And the first Monday of each month from 3 to 4, it is Practical Business Solutions, starring Jim Hyten, senior partner from Right Now or Hyten & Lewis. Jim, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am great. It's always nice to have you in, well, I was going to say in studio. We have a remote studio today. This is so exciting. I've been here before. It's a phenomenal place. We're going to talk all about it, and we're going to introduce the owner in just a second. But I just want to keep shouting out your firm. I just love your firm. I got to tell you, really, truly the best law firm I've ever dealt with because, you know, I've been a CPA 30 years. I've dealt with attorneys everywhere. But you guys are the nicest, most sophisticated, the fairest. I would say that, but I can't help it. I just can't help myself.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I think our... You know, the hallmark of the firm is customer service.
It is indeed,
so
no doubt about it.
Do, so.
And it's good stuff. It's just nice to see an innovative law firm that's different, that they just, it's not about just, you know, well, there's stereotypes of, you know, CPAs
right,
and
right.
law firms, but you're there to help. That's your first thing. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind about that. So I'm really excited to have your show on every month. It helps a lot of people, gives a lot of great information, and yes, we are live. North Mountain Brewing Company, Robert Berkner, owner, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for coming. We appreciate it.
This is great. Thank you for joining us. This is his location.
Yeah,
I should say thank you for having us. This is great. And, of course, Greg, our great producer and co-host on many shows, we were here, right, about a month ago.
Something like that.
Phenomenal. Really, first-hand experience. The service was amazing. The environment is great. The food, just amazing. I told you the fries I thought were the best fries I've ever had.
Thank you.
There's no doubt. And I had the hamburger. Greg had the
poutine.
Yeah.
And that was delicious.
That was good.
And outstanding.
And you had a nice beverage.
Absolutely.
And you liked it.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
Because you brew beer here.
I was going to say, don't forget the beer. Yeah.
I know.
That's the key. That is the point.
That is the key. There's no doubt about it. So we're just going to... Wow, we'd love to talk to entrepreneurs. Jim and I are business people. Would you say business people first? I view myself as a business guy, then a CPA. How do you?
Well, that's kind of the way I view myself.
Yeah.
My background was business and business degrees, and I went into law. But I think that's why I always enjoy, you know, talking to entrepreneurs and people who, you know, make those decisions, because truly that's, as I've said before on this show, I mean, that is the backbone of our country. You see other countries, you don't see a lot of entrepreneurship in other countries. We still have that, and that's why I think we're still as great as we are.
Oh, I think so, too, because if you think about it, the small business, it creates opportunities for anyone, everyone, anytime.
Yep.
And that's nice, right?
Sure. And I mean, you can look back at our country. Many of the things we can look at are just started by entrepreneurs, Henry Ford, the Rockefellers.
Yeah.
I mean, none of those started out big. They started out small.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, again, I think is still part of our country that makes it so great.
No question about it. I love that. And let's talk to Robert about this. You've been in business 4 months, although it must feel like years because you actually bought the building in October 2010. So, a little frustrating at times, maybe buying the building and a little bit of delays.
Oh, absolutely. It's been very frustrating at times, but you just got to keep plugging away at it and eventually break through if you keep trying.
Yeah. What advice would you give other entrepreneurs? I mean, you've been in business a couple times before, you mentioned, but a lot of people just start a business and it's like, wow, where do you start? There's so much to do.
It can be tough. You have to project out, and you don't really know the market you're going into typically. Like in this case, we didn't know, and you still have to do your business plan. You still have to do your research. You have to think very carefully. We even went in, before we even bought the property, we were talking to Bill Gates, who is now the vice mayor, but is a councilman for this area, and we were running our plan past him, making sure we had his backing and the government as a whole, and we did just about everything he can think of to do to put us in the situation, which has helped a lot, but still frustrations abound.
But, you know, Bill Gates, you probably know him. He's on our show. Have you met him?
Yes.
Yeah, nice guy.
Very good.
Yeah, he was on on our show once and liked him a lot. He seemed very very open and receptive to people coming down to talk to him, and he had these meetings going on, I think, monthly.
Yeah.
Is that how you met him?
No, we sought him out. He actually does do the coffee.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
But, no, we made an appointment. We got a hold of him and set up an appointment and went down to his office to meet with him.
How important is that to connect with someone at the city, for example, when you're about to open a business?
It can be very important. It has helped us a lot. It hasn't helped us necessarily with zoning and planning, because they can't legally get involved. It's against the Arizona Constitution, because otherwise he can throw his weight around for his friends and such. So he couldn't do a lot in that respect, but he's been very supportive. He's helped us get in contact with a lot of the people in the neighborhood. And, in fact, he helped us do something that might come up later, but he got the mayor down. We got the both of them to brew a beer together, the nonpartisan lager.
Oh, cool.
And they helped match it in. So not just in the upfront getting us in contact with the people we need to, but just becoming a known face and having them support you and try to find ways to help you out.
That is so cool. So why don't we talk about a little bit more about starting a business? Maybe what challenges are there? I know you mentioned a few of the delays. You can mention that if you want, or briefly, or any other challenges actually opening a business. I mean, one, Jim, you mentioned before we started, financing often could be a challenge, right?
Almost every time, because I enjoy working with startup and new businesses. And one of the things I always ask me is, okay, how do I finance this? And that's always one of the real questions out there. I mean, we all know there are a lot of banks out there that basically just don't loan to startup businesses. So how do you get over that, huh?
Well, for us, we're in a special situation. We have someone who has great credit who was co-signing for us, basically. Yeah. They haven't directly invested at all, but they got us the credit to get in the position that we're in. But even then, as far as that goes, we were going to do this before the economy took a dive. And even at that point, all the banks pulled out. Not even people with great credit were getting loans at that point. So this plan was actually dying on the vine at one point.
Wow, that's got to be scary. And Jim, you're familiar with how banks were pulling out during this recession that we just went through.
It was almost like they couldn't run fast enough. I mean, it was just one of those things where when the recession hit, it was like everybody was stopped, and it was interesting from my standpoint too, because I was on a bank board and I saw how things developed. I mean, even before the recession, a lot of the smaller banks who could see what was coming, they were pulling out of the market even then.
Ooh.
And saying, no loans, no renewals, no nothing. And so that makes it tough on people who are starting new businesses.
Yeah, and especially, I suspect, a restaurant business, I mean, I know, it's pretty capital intensive, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and then you add a brewery on top, and it's just over the top.
How do you evaluate the risk? How do you have strategies to minimize risk? Because, right, Jim, I mean, like a CPA firm, you can get started, get a computer, a law firm, in theory, similar, right? It's not that capital intensive. It's labor intensive or manpower intensive. But a restaurant, especially a brewery, how do you calculate risk? How do you manage risk? And in terms of course, obviously you're going to have to make sure you can cover at the minimum the fixed cost. Well, actually fixed and variable, and also pop in a profit. But how do you manage that?
Profit, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. You've only been in business 4 months. Yeah. Right, your experience, right? I mean, let's go back to Jim real quick. You've had a lot of clients. It's tough to make money on a startup company in the early stages.
It is. It's tough. But, I mean, that's the whole idea. Entrepreneurs that start these companies, they see the long term. I mean, the short term is always the thing that can drive you nuts. But the longer term helps you get there, And one of the questions I had, I was curious because I've done a lot of work with restaurants through my career, but a restaurant with a brewery must be a little different to be putting a brewery in with a restaurant. Isn't that some different requirements?
Oh, absolutely. It involves the federal government on another level. They
okay.
they want to make sure everything's tied together. They're basically still running off the laws that were enacted after Prohibition. So in their eyes, we're all Al Capone, and they're trying to keep us in check. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny.
And then if you consider it's a manufacturing facility on top of everything else
right.
that a restaurant is, yeah, it's definitely a whole other beast.
In fact, I think I saw Kevin Costner out on
yeah.
the street with Elliot Ness or something. Remember that movie? What was that called?
Untouchables.
Untouchables. That was about
right.
Al Capone.
Right.
That was a great movie. Did you both see that?
Yep.
Robert De Niro, Kevin Costner, Sean Connery. I mean, a great cast. That was a fantastic. We should have a movie night here. That would be good.
Well, you know, I can see that would be an issue because when we're brewing and you've got to deal with the federal government, and I guess imagine the interface between getting the federal government to approve something and then getting the city to approve mm-hmm. and having that timeline's got to be a little bit nerve-wracking.
It actually involves every phase of government because the city doesn't get involved in liquor laws. That's all state of Arizona and federal. But
right.
then you have county doing the health codes and then city doing all the construction permits and everything. So you really have to be in contact with every phase of government because they've
yeah.
all got something at stake.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you keep track of that? I mean, that's difficult to know the type of license and the ins and outs, especially in a business like this, like Jim, you said, at the brewery plus a restaurant.
Well,
how do you keep track of all that?
That's actually one of the more scary things about opening a business is making sure because there is no checklist. Nobody, there's a lot of times that you go in and you'll ask, you know, am I doing everything right? And they'll tell you yes, but that doesn't mean yes is the answer because there's always something all of a sudden, oh, wait, here's this.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the more nerve-wracking parts.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how often that I've had somebody who's opening a business like this and that exactly the same thing. They're going down saying, Is everything set? Am I getting everything? And then they have their date for the opening, and they've been telling everybody in the city and the county area, and they get like a week before opening, and somebody says, oh, well, you know, you didn't get this permit. And so you got to go apply for it. And you know, it's surprising that somebody hasn't just said, here's the checklist. This is what you ought to be.
Yeah.
If government really wanted to help small business, they would do that and say, if you get to the end of this checklist and you've said yes and done everything, you're good. But they don't do that.
And from my point of view, that would have been one of the biggest helps along the way. It's to know exactly what I had to do. So you're running to getting everything done in order and everything you're supposed to without any question.
So what kept you inspired, motivated, and just energized to continue through some of the obstacles?
It was pretty simple. I just committed myself to where I had no option. And it was about, I'm joking, but I'm not joking. It was
yeah.
about that simple. I jumped in with both feet, and I was in.
Yeah, I like what you said. That's, you know, I also do neuro-linguistic programming. I don't know if you've heard of that. Tony Robbins, big motivational speaker. That's what he does. I learned from his teachers. Part of breakthrough thinking is about the mindset, too, which is really important. But I like what you said, committed where you had no option, meaning it's like sink or swim. I mean, it's just and there's only one way, it's up. And a lot of people always have a fallback position, so they never quite succeed. Jim, have you seen that too?
Yeah,
where they
yeah.
just don't, they, well, I could sort of slide out of it, no harm, no foul. But when you're like all in, you're all in.
Yeah, and I am. If this doesn't succeed, which I'm hugely confident that we will.
Well, I think you will too.
But it's utter ruin. There is no,
yeah.
I have no idea what comes next after this. So.
But that's the people with the most success in history. It's like there is no option. There is only one way. And I don't you like that? I like that mindset.
And you see that over and over in people who have been successful at entrepreneurship is that's what they've done. Is they basically, this is it. It's got to work.
Yeah,
and you just see that trait in the really successful ones.
Yeah.
So I think that's really something. Now, let me get to a question. This is a favorite question of mine because I always ask this, is kind of like, why here? Why this location? I mean, it's always interesting to me as to why people wind up at a particular location.
Well, and I get asked that a lot, and each time I answer a little bit differently because there are really a lot of different considerations. But I had a couple areas that I was definitely looking at more than others. There are a couple obvious answers. Zoning. We need C3 zoning in order to package and distribute, which you do plan on doing eventually. And the city of Phoenix, to them, that kind of means junkyards and such. So they're getting rid of of C3 as quickly as they can. So there were only so many locations to pick
right.
from. But in the instance of this, it was a community that's trying to rebuild itself, and that's something I've been very interested in being a part of. So that was a definite attraction. And then on top of that, I went and I plotted every other brewery in the city, and I did demographics on them, and I did research on what makes them tick and mm-hmm. looked for traits that were copyable and admirable, and I found that this location measured up pretty well.
And plus affordability, buying a building here, nice to buy a building in an area that, especially if you are the owner of the operations of the building, that's always a good
right,
way to go.
Right.
That might have been a consideration too, right?
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes along with C3. You don't find C3 over by Scottsdale or Parker or some of the more expensive, so that it makes
right.
it easy, but absolutely, affordability is always.
Yeah, which is really cool. And when we come back from our break, we'll take a quick break right now. Maybe we'll talk about you actually have two businesses because it's the operations, the actual restaurant brewery, plus you're a landlord. You own the building. You have some tenants. That's sort of cool, too, in itself.
It definitely helps.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea to do. And, of course, this is Breakthrough Thinking. We're broadcasting live from the North Mountain Brewing Company here in Phoenix, Arizona. This is Practical Business Solutions, of course, the first Monday of every month from 3 to 4, starring Jim Hyten, Breitner, Hyten and Lewis, and we'll be right back.
Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Bierenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Breitner, Hyten and Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and we are broadcasting live from the North Mountain Brewing Company in Phoenix, Arizona. And this is Practical Business Solutions, starring Jim Heighton, senior partner from Reidenauer, Heighton & Lewis. We have Robert Berkner in the house, the owner of North Mountain Brewing Company.
It's his house.
It is your house. And it's a nice house, you know. We should talk. We'll talk about selling to other restaurants the beer, but in a second. But the layout is nice too. I mean, you got a big room out there. We're in this. Would you call it a private room that you could have private parties here?
And so far, we haven't marketed it much, but we've gotten a lot of exposure through this. A lot of people appreciate having a room that they can hold parties or business meetings, all sorts of stuff.
This is a nice size room. You could probably hold, 10, 20, 30, probably, 40, 45 easy?
Well, it can fit 30 comfortably.
Yeah.
We can bring in other tables. We can certainly squeeze more in, but 30 quite comfortably.
Nice TV for the Super Bowl.
And you can hook up your computer to it. And,
really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Also for business meetings.
Yeah,
well, that's not a bad idea at all, actually. That's very cool. Yeah, very comfortable here, and that's what I like about it. It just feels comfortable. And the bar is really cool, too.
Thank you.
I like that a lot. And but, Jim, you were mentioning on the break that about Robert's able to, you know, package his beer and sell it.
It's one thing I was kind of curious about when we got ready to do this interview, because I just wondered with since you have the whole brewing side of the company, and, of course, all your beers and what have you sold in the restaurant, but can you distribute outside of the restaurant, and just kind of what are the hurdles of doing that?
Well, it's actually a self-distribution state, so we are allowed to distribute ourselves. And once you get big enough that you need a distributor, you certainly have that option, and that's something I look forward to someday being able to do. But as I was saying, we have a couple restaurants that are interested in carrying us, and we do have that right once we get our supply, our restaurant taken care of. In the near future, you will see us in a very select few restaurants.
That's great.
So you have other revenue streams coming downstream.
Absolutely. That was always part of the plan, too, for us, is to maximize the number of revenue streams so that, you know, it was the restaurant plus. And
yeah, but you can't go to another state.
No.
You can just stay in Arizona and do it. Okay. Yeah.
Once you get into other states, every state has their laws as far as that goes. Some you have to license in state, some you don't. So that gets a little tricky.
Oh. Is that an eventual goal maybe to have a distribution nationwide or West Coast? Or?
Well, that's way down the road.
Yeah.
It's not really. Yeah, that would be great if I ever get there. But right now I'm just trying to pay off my debts from where I'm at now. We'll worry about that some other day.
Well, you know, it's liquor laws in various states are almost like the last vestige of protecting the state. I mean, they're very kind of closed in terms of when you go to another state to try and sell your beverage there. And I've always found that interesting, but it's not easy to go interstate with something anymore like that.
And in fact, you have companies like Costco who are fighting those battles, trying to open up so they can ship beer over state lines easier. And Costco, in particular, has fought and won some of those cases. But it's a hard fight to fight.
I can imagine. But it's nice to have other income streams, Jim. I mean, with other clients, do you help them? Or do you encourage them to say, hey, what have you seen yet that you can generate other revenue?
Well, it's kind of the key. I mean, when you have a new business, is to look for those other revenue streams, to try to create them, you know, market them, develop them. I mean, one of the things it's very interesting about this particular company is that you have your building, you've got tenants in the building. I mean, it's a great setup to have, you know, some other people kind of sharing the risk of a building.
It definitely helps. I mean, in the end, it was so revenue intensive opening up that all those other, all the tenants, they basically pay insurance and taxes. So it's not, it's make or break on the restaurant. They're not enough that they're going to support us if the restaurant doesn't.
But it's good that you can buy your own building. I mean, that, most of my clients, and Jim, probably you've seen it too, where if you can buy the building you operate from, and you're basically your only tenant, in essence, I know you have other tenants, usually with real estate appreciating, depends on the location, usually that's a good deal. Why pay rent if you can own it? Pay yourself.
It's nice to kind of be the master of your own destiny in terms of real estate. But you were mentioning one of the reasons that you bought the building was different from all of that.
Well, opening up a brewery is very expensive. You have to manipulate the building. You have to put in trench drains and stuff. And the rule of thumb is it takes about as much to move out of a building and fix it as it does to move into it. There have been other breweries in other states that have been pretty successful, and the landlord saw that and held them hostage and just kept them jacking up around.
Oh, that's a real good point, actually.
And once you're there, you don't have the money.
You are
hostage. There's nothing to do. And there are breweries that have been shut down basically because the landlord went overboard.
You know, anytime there's heavy regulations, like I have a school in California, and it takes 8 months to get relicensed, for example.
Right.
Anytime you have such difficulties moving, the landlord has you.
Yeah, because
that's what happened. We've had some interesting obstacles with this client. It's very delicate at times because the value of their business is they better be in business.
Yeah.
If you're not, same with this type of company, evidently. So that's a smart move. That would be a key reason to own your own building, so not held hostage.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, school, I went to the Siebel Institute in Chicago. It is a brewing school, and it was held in a brew pub, Goose Island, who's now actually owned by the Anheuser-Busch conglomerate, but at the time they were independent, they were credited with turning a whole neighborhood around and lifting it up, and they ended up almost getting kicked out of their original location because of that very reason. They were so successful, they actually got awards by the mayor and such for turning a neighborhood around, and that's how well they did, and in the end, they almost paid for it with their location.
That's scary.
Well, that was something I was going to ask you, too, is brewing beer, I'm one of those people, I basically, if I put water in the microwave and can get it to boil, that's great. So, but imagine brewing beer, you've got to go somewhere, you got to learn all of the ins and outs of that. I mean, so you went to an actual school that was talking about that.
Yeah, that was in 2007, although I've actually been brewing for 19 years as a home brewer. So a lot of it I was self-taught. And when I went to that school, I learned much of what they're already teaching. So in some ways, it wasn't as beneficial as it could have been. But in other ways, what I did learn was absolute gold. So I definitely don't regret that decision. But, yeah, there are a couple schools around, and even overseas, they take it very serious. In Germany, it's a very serious endeavor. So
where do you get the brewing equipment? Are there many manufacturers of brewing equipment?
There are a few. They're increasing every day. Brewing is exploding nationwide, and equipment's getting hard to get. So there have always been a few of them, and right now there are just more and more opening all the time.
Wow.
Why is brewing exploding, you think, nationwide?
I think because people are finally figuring out that beer can taste good.
Oh.
And they're willing to pay the extra couple bucks to get beer that they actually enjoy.
Is it sort of like the wine thing? We know a wine guy, Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I forgot the name of his company. Craig, do you remember? I can't remember the name of his company.
I don't remember, no.
But chocolate wine, things like that, substantially just, what do they call it, cupcake or something? There's a cupcake brand, and it just exploded the wine industry with all these flavors. So that's similar to beer then, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
I did read an article about that a while back where it was kind of interesting. This particular author said, you know, that brewing was almost going through a renaissance right now because there had been so many years that basically you had the big companies, the big beer companies, and it's kind of like, you know, Henry Ford and the original Ford. You can have it in any color as long as it's black. And that's what the brewing companies were. The big national guys are saying, you can have this beer and you can be anything as long as it's this taste and this flavor. And now I guess brewing can you know, do all kinds of things with it.
And I think we are actually living through the golden age of beer. In the end, they're going to look back and just all the old styles are being revived and they're being brewed in new ways. And there's so much experimentation going that we may very well be in the history of beer in the most versatile time. And if you like beer and you want to try something new, get out there. Now is the time.
So I don't drink much, let's put it that way. I mean, a little wine, but it's Riesling wine, and that's because of Sideways, the movie. Ever see that one?
No.
I bring up movies a lot. Paul Giamatti. It was a great, did you see it?
No, I never heard of it.
It was up for Best Picture. It didn't win. Anyway, the thing is talk a little bit about flavors of beer. I mean, I remember, out of all the beers, Heineken seemed to, I sort of liked. I don't know why. What is Heineken?
It's funny you bring up Heineken.
Yeah.
They actually, they make a Heineken specifically for the U.S. They actually had one batch that got skunked, which we've all heard the term, and it is real. It's the light interacting with the hops.
Oh.
And their batch actually came out skunked, and they shipped it out, and Americans loved it. So they specifically, for American only, they skunked their beer and released it just for us. If you go anywhere else in the world, you will not get the same Heineken.
I guess that's what I like, don't you?
Yeah, that's what most people are when it came out, but it was a flavor. There wasn't much flavor in beer, and here was a beer with a flavor, even if it was a flaw. Most people didn't know that.
I didn't know it either.
And they went, oh, wow, yum. It's got an actual flavor to it. And so I think people adapted it. You know, they enjoyed it.
Well, what about because obviously brewing is almost like kind of like cooking, so to speak. You have to have the ingredients and everything. How do you get the ingredients fresh here? I mean, is it something where you have to have, you know, I've heard of hops and this. I mean, is it hard to get them fresh here, or is it something that takes a little bit of effort to do?
No, we can get pretty much every ingredient just as fresh as everyone else. It's like the grain goes through its kilning process, and it's drying, and it's made for storage, and we do have trouble getting some fresh hops. There are places where you grow hops and they pick them in the field and they go straight in the beer, and it's called a fresh hop beer.
Yeah.
And that's just something that's not practical here. But most other hops are kiln dried once again, and they're packaged in nitrogen to keep them from oxidizing. So for the most part, we can get the same ingredients everyone else can. They generally come from Denver or California or something like that, but. So we're pretty much getting the same ingredients as everybody.
Wow, that's sort of cool. Let me ask you a couple other things. So, first of all, on the Heineken thing, when did that occur? Was that a long time ago when they used to skunk the beer or whatever?
Oh, I don't know exactly. I would think it was like 30 or 40 years
ago. Yeah. Okay, so that would have been the batch I tasted. And, there was something about it I did like. I just remember that. Other beers, like bitter to me or something, but that one stuck in my mind. Remember, Greg, I even told you that. Heineken, they go, really?
You told me that. You have the original batch that got...
Yeah, it must have been. It's a collector's item. I say half of it.
I do believe, though, especially from here at North Mountain Brewing Company, but other types of beers as well, you would start to like it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that.
Try.
You're right, and that's my next question is what are some of these flavors? Can you describe how... It's different what you do here, and you create different flavors. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, each ingredient adds its own flavor. And there's the grain, which you can roast, you can toast, you can caramelize. There are so many different colors, flavors, depths. Yeah, there's a caramel malt, which it runs from light to dark, and it gives you toffee flavors down low to caramely up to actually like pruny and raisiny. I mean, it runs the gamut from light to dark.
Wow.
And they're just you can roast them, which will give you your porters. There's just so much stuff just in the malt alone. And then there's hops, which will run anything from earthy, spicy to citric. Now they're coming out with a bunch of New Zealand hops, which give you almost passion fruit, and the flavors you'd actually associate with New Zealand and Australia are actually they shine through, and it is just the hop. And then you throw the yeast on top, which can go anything. I've made beers that I've split in half and identical beer and fermented them with different yeast, and the people that tried them would have never known they were the same beer. That's how distinctive the flavor contribution of yeast itself is. You have something like our Hefeweizen, which it's a German yeast strain, and it gives clove or banana flavor. Our first Hef we did, we fermented it at 68 degrees, had some banana, but I wanted a little more, so I put it to 69 degrees. And the amount of banana that came out in that, there's no banana in that beer.
Really?
But you can actually taste banana, and it's an ester that the yeast itself produced. So really, the breadth of flavors available in beer nowadays is tremendous. And then you have people actually spicing their beer and adding fruit and just all sorts of stuff.
Wow, I had no idea. You used the term porter.
Yeah.
What is that? I'm not familiar.
That's a really dark beer. It's similar to a stout, but a stout has a sharper edge to it. It's primarily made from unmalted roasted barley, and porter's made primarily from malted roasted barley. So it just has a different flavor. But it's kind of a coffee-ish, cocoa-ish kind of a beer.
Wow.
But without coffee and cocoa. And, of course, then people add coffee and cocoa into it, and then they have a whole nother.
So what do you have a whole variety of flavors here then?
We have 8 beers on tap right now. We have 2 wheat beers, one of which has pomegranate, pear, apple, and grapefruit in it.
Ooh,
so we've got
wow.
a fruit beer, and the other is just the Hef. I shouldn't say just the Hef. It is the Hef. and that's got the clove and banana yeast. We've also got a red. We've got an IPA. We've got a blonde ale, which is, we call it a dirty blonde ale. It's got a little more color and a little more flavor than your typical blonde, but it's still nice and easy drinking.
Wow.
And then the nonpartisan lager, which is a really light Helles lager. It's very tasty, very clean, and very good on a summer day.
Wow, I'm going to have to, Jim, take some of it. I just never knew.
Well, going back to the entrepreneurship side of this, so you set up the company, you've got everything in place, you open the doors. Now you've got, you know, and you hire employees. And of course, that's always the, everybody has to deal with the employment side of things. And is there anything special you do to try and get the employees kind of invested in this and trying to, you know, kind of make them give their best for your company?
Well, I think we've got some really good employees, and they all like being here. We are a brewery, which just alone, quite honestly, has a little bit of a coolness factor. They all love being a part of that. But I also try to emulate the feel. I mean, we're a brewery. We're supposed to be here to have fun. And so we try to keep it a little more light, a little lighter for the employees so they can enjoy themselves. And I think that goes a long way, that they actually like being here. In fact, they frequently come in on their off days. When they get off of work, they'll sit around and hang out and talk together, and they genuinely seem to like being here.
Wow.
And, you know, you can always tell that in a place that serves the public. If employees like being there, you can just tell the difference.
Yeah, it's true.
You don't have to guess. You know that difference. So.
And it translates into how they treat the customers, I believe, too.
Very much so. They believe in the product. They like the beer. They like our food. They like our ambiance. And it's easy to sell something that you believe in. It's easy to convey your enthusiasm.
Is it? Have you? How much has the sitcom Cheers influenced your environment? Remember that? It's sort of a place you can go and just sort of hang out.
Well, honestly, other than a couple Norm jokes, a lot of the servers here are a little young to really.
Oh, they don't remember that.
No, not so much.
I thought it was funny. Great sitcom. Ever see that?
You know, that's. Part of the big secret, I think, of not maybe a secret, but of making a restaurant successful is getting those people that will come back. You know, the repeat customer that says, "I really like this. I'm going to go there," and maybe they come in once a week or something. I mean, that's I think a real big part of it.
And from the get-go, we've had regulars. There are people that you know, there isn't very much in the area that's like us. In fact, really nothing.
Right.
And the community has been very embracing of us to begin with. I actually have people continually thanking me for coming here, which it was almost kind of odd. It's like, well, no, thank you for coming. I appreciate it. But people are really enthusiastic that we're here, and some of them go out of their way to show their support. They're throwing parties here just to bring their friends in and introduce them to the area, and the people of the area really want us to succeed.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Yeah, why don't we take a quick break right now, and then we'll do our final segment. We're live here at the North Mountain Brewing Company in Phoenix, Arizona. This is Breakthrough Thinking, and the first Monday of each month from 3 to 4, it's Practical Business Solutions, starring Jim Hyten, senior partner from Reidenauer, Hyten & Lewis. We're here with Robert Berkner, the owner of North Mountain Brewing Company. Get out here, actually. I'm going to give the address. Everyone should get out here. 522 East Dunlap Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. Well, that's just Central over there, right? Oh, Central's behind me. That's right. So not far from Central, 7th Street and Dunlap, basically, and we'll be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking Live, broadcasting at the North Mountain Brewing Company. The owner is Robert Berkner, and we're here at his location. This is Practical Business Solutions, the first Monday of each month from 3 to 4, starring Jim Hyten, senior partner from Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis. And then, Jim, it's been amazing so far. We love talking to entrepreneurs, Robert's only been in business 4 months, although it must feel like a couple of years since you actually wanted to start a couple of years ago. But I've learned a lot, some really interesting things about brewing. Of course, your theme is really about beer, food, and environment.
This is true, yeah.
You have the TVs, too, for sports.
Yeah, we do, but we're trying not to be a sports bar. It really is all about the beer. But, yeah, we've got all the playoff games. We had them all on. We've Diamondbacks games, especially Arizona sports. I'm a native of the area, and I'm an unashamed homer.
Good.
And
yes.
And I'm sorry, there is no other. You know, I keep hearing about there's Nebraska, there's bars
yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
like that. You don't hear much. Well, no, not here.
Well, Jim, is you're a native, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm a native, too.
There you go,
two
right?
Natives right here.
That,
so.
That's not yeah. bad. I'm from California.
Yeah, that's 50%. This is
yeah.
as
good
as it gets.
Yeah, but we love Arizona.
And I'm like
good.
You. I'm from this north central
oh, yeah.
area, and it's just great to see these kind of things happening in this area.
It really is. And let's, there's a couple other things we want to talk about. One is the marketing aspect, so we'll get that to the towards the end of the show, but and we're coming up. We have probably about 10, 12 minutes left, I suspect. But this is a dream come true for you, isn't it? I mean, you, like you said, 19 years brewing. Talk about what it feels like to have such an incredible dream right here, right now, right in front of you.
Well, and that's my joke, is the dream still is in front of me because,
yeah.
you know, now I've got everything I need to make the dream come true. But
right.
the dream, it's just now starting. It's a lot of work. But it's a lot of fun. What can I say? I brew beer for a living. I mean, it is a lot of work. We had a brew that went all night last night. It was a wheat beer, and they tend to get a little long. They don't, without getting too in depth with chemistry and stuff. It went a little sideways on us, and we ended up leaving at 10 in the morning. And
oh.
people walk in, and they're like, gee, you guys don't work. And,
yeah.
no, yes, it's actually quite a bit of work. But in the end, I love doing it. I really
yeah.
do enjoy doing it. I love making the beer. I like making the recipes. And it's there's nothing I'd rather be doing.
Well, just listening to Robert talk, I mean, one of the things I just learned is that, you know, making beer, especially in the quantities you're talking about, it seems like it's a pretty precise art. You were talking about the difference between 68 degrees and 69 degrees.
Yeah.
And the timing of it. I mean, that's I guess people don't really think about that when they think about brewing beer. It's kind of like you put it in, you start up, you get it done.
Well, and even in the brewing community, I've had discussions with some of my friends that went to Siebel with me now that now own their own breweries also, and we've had the argument of whether it's an art or a science, and I'm firmly in the middle. I mean, it is. It's you have to know the science in order to make good beer, but you have to be an artist about it too. You have
right.
to kind of be able to say, this sounds good, and
yeah.
think a little outside the box, not to be a little cliche about that, but it is half art and half science.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, so sort of business consulting, isn't it, a little bit? There's a science to it. There's tax laws. There's strategic planning, but also creativity, innovation, and sort of having that intuitive feeling about which might defy the odds sometimes.
Right, and I think that's they say one of the things that is most interesting about people who start their own businesses is that, and that's why I like working with them so much, is you have to think out of the box. I mean, you
yeah.
really, if you get stuck in the model and you can't come up with anything other than what you've done before, sometimes you find out that's not a good way to do it. I mean,
no.
you have to think about other ways to do
yeah.
things.
No doubt about it. Let me ask a couple questions. One other question, then we can get into marketing, which is a huge part of business,
right.
of course. What was the biggest surprise when you went to school formally in Chicago and then I think you said in Munich, or part of the it was part of the academic program? What was the biggest surprise you learned from being self-taught to going to school, and what was like, wow, I didn't know that, or that's amazing type of thing?
Well, anything I say is going to come out a little bit nerdy, but like one of the little nuggets of gold, if that's what you're looking for,
yeah.
which no one else will be able to apply, but just the protein matrix that makes up a bubble and how it interacts and how too big or too small doesn't work and how once a bubble breaks, that protein breaks with it. So those same proteins are not available to make bubbles in the future. So it just kind of helped me reassess the way I was treating. And I've always been pretty careful, but to realize that if I'm sitting there doing something rough and I'm creating a bunch of foam, well, that's foam that now can't make the head when I pour the
uh-huh.
beer. So it just kind of made me a little more guarded. It's gold now. I look at that. And
yeah.
Go, yeah, this stuff needs to be protected. And I've always gone out of my way to be gentle. You know, I mean, it is a temperamental liquid, if you will. But it just gave me another appreciation for why I need to be so delicate with it.
Well, that gives me appreciation because,
yeah.
you know, the average person would never know that. I think that's sort of cool, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
That is amazingly interesting, really. It really is. Marketing. Well, I don't know. Jim, you've known people go out on their own, whether they're attorneys. I've known CPAs to go out. Technically, they're phenomenal, but if they can't get the customers.
Right.
They can't be in business.
Well, you had a business plan. You had a marketing plan. I mean, what did you look at in terms of the marketing? What do you think was going to work the best? And
I kind of figured that reaching out to the community and just becoming a known commodity in the neighborhood, being a known face, and you could say that's one of the benefits of a construction project that runs way too long, we were at the Sunny Slope Art Walk, which they have twice a year. We were handing out flyers, talking to people. We've been to a couple of the other local events. We've just been meeting the community leaders. We've had a lot of time to go out there and make ourselves known before we ever even opened. And, of course, there's the standard marketing that everybody does, but even at the very get-go, we wanted to be community-oriented. And that was our main focus, is just getting to know the people of the community. And
well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if when people know you and they like you, they like to work with you or they like to be part of it. And is that what you're finding in the community here? They want to be part of something sort of cool and sort of new and sort of excellent.
Absolutely, absolutely. And add all that on top of the fact that it's a brewery.
Yeah.
Which, as I said before, and I hate to be repetitive, but it is a little inherently cool. A lot of people are like, oh, yeah, brewery, exciting. So even as soon as they see that, when I try to market to people on signage or handing out things, that's the biggest word. Brewery is the word that's going to get your attention. You say North Mountain, there's many businesses around here named North Mountain, and that's not going to be the one that grabs you. But you see brewery, then you can look, and then you'll see North Mountain, and then you'll make the further connection. But, yeah, it definitely has its own innate attraction.
No doubt about it. And I mean, with your clients, too, I mean, marketing is, well, you just got to have some plan, but a plan that's cost-effective. I think the key word is cost-effective.
Yeah,
right. Two words.
Right. But this is, I agree with Robert. I mean, I think that this area up here, and especially North Central Phoenix and North Phoenix, tends to be a community, and people really look at, how people are what you do for the community, if you're in the community, if you're out there doing things. I mean, more than other places, I think you get more out of it doing it here.
This is definitely a neighborhood, and we kind of knew this coming in, but I've been absolutely floored. The people are so proud of being part of Sunny Slope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't always get the love from the rest of the city that they think they deserve, and it kind of brought them together. This is one of the tighter communities in the city. They are very fiercely defensive about their place. I mean, everywhere I go, my grandma still lives there. I grew up there. Just every amazing, the number of people that have a connection. And they're very proud of their connection with this neighborhood, and that has been nothing but a benefit to us.
Let me ask, and this might be a silly question, but I'm not sure, because, like I said, I don't really drink much at all. Is there an age limit to be where they serve beer?
Well, 21 years.
Well, I mean, to drink it, but to eat here?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we get... another thing that surprised me is just how diverse the crowd is. We get everybody. We get people that bring in their kids, and we have live music frequently, and it's not uncommon to see kids dancing in front of the musicians and stuff. We get everything from young to old and everything in between. We really do bring in a diverse crowd.
Okay, just because you serve beer doesn't mean it's over 21 crowd.
No.
Maybe liquor places are like that, right? Hard liquor, maybe.
I think there is a law after 10.
Is that how it is?
An adult, but that doesn't really play in here because most of the families come in earlier.
They come in especially on
Sundays, but they'll come in for dinner also.
Oh.
But they're usually, they've all got, they've got kids.
Sure.
Not many people go out with the kids till midnight.
What's the favorite food here? I mean, that seems to be real popular.
Fish and chips.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
That's good. You like fish and chips?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, so that's the favorite.
Yeah, a lot of people, they struggle a little bit when they look at our menu because they're looking to see if we're an Italian restaurant or a Mexican restaurant or something.
Oh.
We're really kind of all over the board.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's all beer food of the world. It's all beer oriented.
Oh, I see.
We do the shepherd's pie. The burgers are really popular.
Very
good. We've got steak sandwiches. We also have lumpia, which are Filipino egg rolls.
Oh.
We've got Asian barbecue sticks. We've got ahi and salmon and oysters.
Wow.
So a lot of people look and say burgers and oysters and fish and chips and all this stuff, and they don't see that it goes together, but it does because it's all classic beer food of the world.
That sounds good. I'm getting hungry. What about you?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
That is so cool. Well, Wow, I can't believe we're towards the end of the show here. Why don't you tell people how to get here, the address, any contact information that you want to give out?
Well, we do have a Facebook site. We have a website, northmountainbrewing.com. Look it up either one, and they'll direct you towards the other. We are actually located at 522 East Dunlap, like you said. It's just west of 7th Street on the north side of the street. We share the building with Hertz. The signage is one of the problems, so look closely, but you'll see we have the patio with the umbrellas. Parking is in the back. And we have Twitter also, if I didn't mention that.
And hours, pretty much?
Hours, we're in summer hours right now, 3 to 11, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And 11 to 11 every other day except Sunday, we close at 9. But if there are people here, if you come in and you're still here at 11, we're not going to kick you out. And the only other thing I have to say is the kitchen typically closes at 10.
Oh, okay.
Because it slows down. Once again, if you come in and you want food, we're going to cook you food. We're in the business of having fun and not kicking. We close at 11, but we've been here till 12:30 before and just letting people hang out and do their thing.
Wow. Those are good hours. And, Jim, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, the best way to get in touch with me is calling the firm. The main line is 602-254-9900. Just ask for me. I'm one of the people they always say I'm always there. So they can always get a hold of me.
Except for today.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Robert Berkner, owner of North Mountain Brewing Company, it's really a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Thinking and Practical Business Solutions. And we're big fans. We're going to do what we can to support you, get people out here, maybe do some other radio broadcasts live here, maybe some sports action. And I think it'll be a lot of fun.
That would be great.
And, Jim, always nice seeing you. And we'll, of course, have another Practical Business Solution show next month. And could be more entrepreneurs.
Could be.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Anyway, thank you again for listening. We will be on tomorrow, live from the Regis Suites, actually, with several shows, Breakthrough Networking, as well as The Bottom Line, all about The Bottom Line with businesses. And everyone have a great night.